People with chronic pain are very likely to experience negative emotions. You may well have suffered more than your fair share of stress, anxiety, depression, and irritation since you developed chronic pain. With such emotions, your quality of life and your sense of well-being slide further downhill, and that in turn causes even more distress, which causes your quality of life and sense of well-being to slide further downhill, and so the vicious circle can continue. Negative emotions also interfere with sleeping and eating, and may also lead a person to rely on medication or alcohol. Relationships can also be affected, and that can lead to further vicious circles. You feel fed up, so the person you live with gets fed up, and that makes you feel even more fed up, and so on. Last but not least, negative emotions can seriously interfere with our ability to cope with pain. When we feel anxious, depressed, or angry, it's often the case that we're able to identify a particular cause. I feel anxious because of an important test or exam. I feel depressed because I failed the test. I feel angry because my partner keeps telling me to pull myself together. If we're able to identify why we feel bad and can do something to improve the situation, we will often feel better. So the first thing to ask yourself is, can I do something constructive to improve the situation that I feel bad about? If you can see a way of improving things, then you can set that as a goal and begin to take the necessary steps towards achieving it. This may seem an obvious thing to say, but most of us have known times when, having taken a particular course of action, we wondered why we hadn't tried it earlier. Of course, the very fact that you're listening to this means that you're doing something constructive in relation to your pain. But what if you can't identify the cause? Or, as with chronic pain, if you can identify the cause, but you can do little to change it? A crucial lesson for all of us to learn is that it's not simply situations that cause anxiety, depression, or anger. It's the way we perceive or view the situation that really matters. What we think about a particular thing can have a much more powerful effect than the thing itself. Take the following example. You're shopping in a supermarket when, as you approach the end of an aisle, someone pushing a trolley comes whizzing round the corner in your direction. The person pushing it is a rather scruffy teenage lad. What emotion do you feel? The immediate thoughts of someone who suffers with chronic pain are likely to be about the possibility of a collision and the pain being made worse. So anxiety is a likely reaction. But someone could think, this young lad is simply in high spirits and so is a little bit thoughtless. So they might feel mildly irritated. On the other hand, you could think, he's deliberately ramming into me and now he's going to attack or rob me. So fear rather than irritation is likely to be the main emotional response. Yet another person could think, this goes to show that no one cares about me. People walk all over me. Then the chances are that your emotional response would be one of depression. The point is, our emotional reactions are not simply driven by the situation we're in. How we feel is very strongly influenced by the thoughts we have about the situation. So, to reduce anxiety, anger, or depression, it's a good idea to think differently. Try to look at the situation from a different angle, a more positive angle. In the example about the supermarket, all of the angles are rather negative ones. But it could turn out that there was an injured baby in the trolley and the scruffy lad was rushing to get help. Many of us are better at thinking positively for other people than we are for ourselves. So, when a friend fails a test, we may say, never mind, you did your best. You can always take it again. It's not the end of the world. Yet when it happens to us, we may say, I failed because I'm just plain stupid. It was a total waste of time. There's no point in trying again. You may need to be a little kinder to yourself. Listening to this, some may be thinking, but what about chronic pain? That's what I get upset about. and surely there is only one way to view chronic pain, and that's negatively. It's certainly true that when people with chronic pain get together and discuss living with chronic pain, all of them will agree that chronic pain is definitely a negative thing. Usually, however, these discussions are not totally negative. Positive things also emerge. People show that they still have a sense of humour and a concern for others. One person might say that chronic pain has made them appreciate the things in life that are really important. Another person might say that they no longer feel as anxious, now that they know that the pain doesn't mean there's anything seriously wrong. Someone else might say that chronic pain has taught them to slow down and live one day at a time. Another person, who developed chronic pain following a life-threatening accident, might say that they're grateful to be alive. Each positive angle may only be a positive angle for that particular person, and no one says that they're glad to have the pain. But even in chronic pain, people do still manage to find a positive angle. When you feel as though you're travelling through a long, dark tunnel, even a small torch can be welcome. You may be able to say that you generally do act positively when facing a stressful situation, and you do your best to look for positive angles. Another idea worth considering is to ask yourself, do I have to think about this? Is thinking about this doing me any good? Much anxiety, depression, and anger is fueled by repeatedly and pointlessly going over problems in our mind. Indeed, if someone else were to keep on talking to us about a problem in the same way that we sometimes talk to ourselves, we would probably reach a point where, politely or perhaps not so politely, we might say, I wish you'd shut up about that. Thoughts that often repeat themselves in the minds of people with chronic pain include difficult or impossible to answer questions like, when will this end? And why me? If you do tend to depress yourself or increase anger or anxiety by going over and over the same ground, try to develop thought-stopping strategies or thought-reduction strategies. You could decide, I'll only think about that when I'm brushing my teeth. You could write your thoughts down on paper and then put the paper in the rubbish bin or on a fire. You might sing a favourite and light-hearted song to distract yourself. You may need to be creative and persistent. Old thought patterns, like old habits of any kind, may take time to change, but they certainly can be changed. Now, to finish this section, some particular thoughts on depression. If you are trying to deal with depression, or you have been depressed in the past and you want to avoid it in the future, treat the following six ideas as outline suggestions, food for thought. There is no quick fix for depression. Firstly, it's worth remembering that just as anxiety is a natural human response when we feel threatened, depression is a natural human response when we lose people, things or activities which have been important to us. Don't punish yourself for suffering depression. Secondly, it's a good idea to make some effort to engage in activities which you've enjoyed in the past or which you might find pleasurable in the future. This is true even if you find it hard to feel any pleasure now. Thirdly, depression tends to increase when people are on their own a lot of the time. So while you should not pretend to be the life and soul of the party, do take and make opportunities to mix warmly with other people whom you value. Number four is, try to keep your basic sleep and eating routines going, or if they've already gone out of the window, set yourself the goal of getting them back to a more normal pattern. Number five, depression feeds off negative thought patterns, and these thought patterns also feed off depression. People who feel depressed tend to think negatively about themselves, the world about them and the future. So watch out for such thoughts and begin changing them. Nobody is all bad. The world around us is always a mixture of positive and negative things, and the future has both clouds and silver linings. Finally, it's worth discussing antidepressant medication with your doctor. People often confuse antidepressants with tranquilizers like Valium, Librium and Ativan. Antidepressants and tranquilizers are completely separate groups of drugs. And, as the name suggests, antidepressants are specifically designed to relieve depression. Incidentally, it's possible that you're already taking some medication for your pain that is also an antidepressant. Some antidepressants relieve some forms of pain when taken in low dosages, but they need to be taken in higher dosages to relieve depression. Of course, you should not alter the amount you take of any medication without discussing this with your doctor first.